This morning we are going to continue on with the sermon series, Fruit Inspection. And we're actually on part 7. So today we're going to be examining that word there of meekness.
It's time for another Holy Ghost inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Glory to God. I want you to pray together with me. We're getting ready to dig into the Word of God again. Father, we praise You. We worship You. And I'm just going to ask that as we dig into this Word of God, that You would give us an understanding even more than what we have ever had in the past regarding Your Word and regarding what You say. And Lord, let it have an effect on us and challenge us to be more like You and more like what You want us to be in this world that we live in. And we'll give You praise for that in Jesus' name. God's people say amen. Amen. Amen and amen. This morning we are going to continue on with the sermon series, Fruit Inspection. And we're actually on part 7. And I had a blessing this morning. Miss Lisa was talking to me earlier, and she says, you know, Pastor, according to my notes, I think you missed one of the fruits. And I said, nope, I think you missed one, because we were, the week you guys weren't here, I think we did 2 of them. Is that correct? Yes, I did 2. So, but I told her we're going to revisit that one again today. So you're blessed. Amen. You're blessed. Amen. I'm so thankful that God gives us His Word. Because without His Word, how would we know how to live? How would we know what His will was? See, all of us can come up with what we think, right? You ever had anybody say to you, well, I think this. But how many of you have actually thought something different? And the Word of God gives us a standard of what we are to believe and how we are to live. So we've been talking about fruit, and I want you to go with me. What fruit should be coming out of a believer's life? And this is actually in the book of Galatians chapter 5. And that's where we have been at. And this morning I was going to do 2 more, but again, I ran out of room. So we're just going to cover 1 here this morning. Is that okay with you guys? Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. How many of you found that out? And these two are contrary to each other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and its lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirits. So we're talking about what is coming out of us, what fruit is being seen by others. How many of you have enjoyed good pieces of fruit? Now, Laura's constantly trying to get me to eat fruit. And I don't mind fruit as long as it's good. It's good tasting fruit. But when you put a piece of fruit in your mouth, you are expecting it to be sweet. And what do you get? A sour taste in your mouth. She had some blackberries the other day. And I was expecting, I love blackberries. I was expecting Pastor Aaron to put that big thing in my mouth and go, mmm. I put it in my mouth and went, mmm. That's nasty. Right? So, what is the world doing when they're looking at the fruit coming out of you? Are they saying, mmm, I like being around that person? Or are they saying, nasty? That's what we've been talking about, fruit. And we want it to be good that's coming out of us. So we've talked about all of these things. We've now come down to talking about verse 23, meekness. Now, I know that I did talk about this when we were talking about gentleness, the fruit of the Spirit, and it is very close to meekness. As a matter of fact, it uses about the same Greek word, protes. However, there is a difference in them. And that is, anytime that you look at the scriptures and you see different words, and sometimes people say, well, that's exactly the same thing. Gentleness and meekness, the same thing. But why would the Apostle Paul write a different word in here if it was going to be the same thing that we need to have coming out of us? So today we're going to be examining that word there of meekness in this sermon series of fruit inspection. We're going to be looking at meekness and what that actually means. Now, meekness in comparison to gentleness that I did speak about a few weeks ago, meekness is primarily internal. It's internal humility and submission to God. So it's primarily internal. What kind of people are we? Are we meek people inside, or are we not? Whereas gentleness is external. And gentleness usually presents itself in being kind to some other people and being generous and being considerate of others, that showing on the inside. But here, this fruit is mainly internal, where we are being submissive to God. Now, a lot of us can fake it on the outside, but God knows the intentions inside. See? So when we look at this, meekness means that we are humble and we are submissive to the will of God. So now, we need to examine just those couple things in our lives right now. How many of us are humble in our hearts? There is a false humility that people can show on the outside. And it goes something like this. Oh, you know, why don't you have this? Somebody's trying to offer you something. They're trying to offer you a blessing. And you say, no. I'm absolutely fine where God has me at. I don't need that. When in essence, you need it. And so it's a false humility. But looking deep inside of our hearts, are we humble before our God? Do we know who we are in comparison to who He is? See, here's the point. A few years ago, well, maybe a few more years ago than a few years ago, we had a student in our ministry training center. And she had a phrase that kind of caught on, and Kathy, you remember this. Said, some people think they're all that and a bag of chips. Anybody remember that from our training center days? Okay. See, that's an internal thought. That we think that we're all that. And that we're better than others. And that's the attitude of our hearts. We're better than others. How many of us, when we walk by someone that is less dressed than we are, doesn't have the things that we have, perhaps they're homeless, and we walk by and the attitude of our heart is that, I'm better. I'm better than that individual is. See, that's not a humility of heart that the Lord is looking for. And sometimes we have to say, ouch, because we actually have that attitude within our hearts. Meekness is different. Meekness is an actual humility that I know who I am, and I know that what I have or I don't have has been given to me by God. Because the very breath that I breathe is given to me by God. And we know that it is by the Lord Himself, He giveth the power to gain wealth. He gives the power to have what we have. And so true humility and meekness says, I know who I am without God. And that is what? Nothing. Pastor Aaron preached about that a few weeks ago. That my righteousness is as filthy rags. What do I have? What do I have? Without God and without Him making me clean, I got filthy rags. And that's where I need to constantly have that kind of internal humility and submission to God's heart and to who He is. Everybody understand this? So we're going to be talking about that today. Meekness equals our attitude, while gentleness equals our behavior. Sometimes people think that, well, if I just do the outward stuff, it'll be okay with God. But it won't be. Somebody told me the other day, they said, Pastor, I wish you'd quit preaching this series because I don't like it. It's reaching too deep inside. But look, that's what we need. Where's our attitude in knowing who we are and who God is? We can fake out others by doing kind things for them and kind things, but in our hearts, we're far away from that. Jesus actually condemned the Pharisees so many times by saying, outwardly you do the things that appear to be godly. But inwardly, you are ravening, raving wolves. You are vipers. You are like a whitewashed grave. How many of you know they didn't appreciate that? But basically, that is what God is telling us today, that if we are just doing the outward things, but inwardly, our attitude stinks, we need to make a change. We need to change who we are and who, and realizing who God is. All right? Meekness also comes into play so much in what our attitude is when we're hurt or wronged by others. Now, I know there's nobody in here that's ever been wronged or hurt by others, right? We all have. How many of us have been hurt more than once? And the longer we live in life, we're going to experience those kinds of things. It doesn't matter. You're going to have that in your lives. But what is your attitude? What's your attitude towards those that have hurt you or have wronged you? We have to look at that. Are we still being submissive in our hearts and on our attitudes to what God says? Forgive them that have wronged you. How about this one? Bless those who persecute you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. See, it all comes from the attitude within our hearts. You know, we can, here's the way, the difference between attitude and actually doing the thing. Well, I'll forgive them, but I don't want to. It's just like telling a kid, you say you're sorry. You know, when Madison and Maddox were small, I mean, it was constant between the two of them. And say, apologize to your sister. And what do? I'm sorry. And then she, being very perceptive, say, Papa, he's not sorry. No, he isn't. But are we that way with God? Are we that way with others? When we're just trying to make them feel better when they're asking for forgiveness, but yet in your heart, you're not forgiving them? Ouch, it's getting quiet in here. I want to look at some biblical examples of what meekness looks like. Because we're talking about it's internal. It's how we are humble and how we handle things. Now, I like to refer, and I think I did refer to him a few weeks ago. I want to talk about Moses. And I want you to go back with me now to Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. Moses. Now, how do we know that Moses was a meek man? Well, we know that because the scriptures say he is. I want you to look at this. This is in the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Now, does that mean that Moses didn't have any problems? No. It meant that he was meek. Inside, God looked of his attitude, of who he was, and his submissiveness to God, to be what God wanted him to be. So we know that he was very meek above everyone else that was on the earth. Would you say that was a great quality? And that's why God chose him to lead the people out and to do all the miraculous things that took place. But now, go over to Numbers chapter 14. I want you to see this example. Numbers chapter 14, starting in verse 11. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with a pestilence and disinherit them and will make of you a great nation and mightier than they. Did you say God was upset? God was upset. Because these people were doing exactly everything that God said don't do. And God just said, I'm done with them. I'm going to get rid of them. Tell you what, Moses, you're still a meek man. I see your heart. I'm just going to raise up another nation. Look at the heart. Moses could have said what? Okay, God, let's do it. You know, this time the people will be under me. He could have said that, right? Because that's what God said. God said, I'll do this. I'm going to be done with these people. What do you think? God said that to you? What would you say? Yeah, that's a good idea, God. Maybe. But Moses says to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear it, for you brought them, this people, out from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that the Lord art among the people, for thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud stands over them, and that you go before them day by day, and a pillar of a cloud and a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you will kill all these people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring his people into the land that he sware to them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech you, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken. saying, "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, the third and fourth generation." I want you to see the heart of Moses here. "And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. But as I, truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because of these men which have seen my glory and my miracles that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I have sworn to their fathers, neither shall them see it that have provoked me." We have to ask ourselves the questions: if we were Moses, which choice would we have made? Would we have said, "Okay, God, make a new people that will follow me"? But what did Moses say? What was his heart? He was meek. Though Moses had the authority and the power to go on with what the Lord said, he begged the Lord. He said, "But Lord, this is what the people will see. They will think that you're a weak God, that you couldn't bring these people forward into the promised land." And God listened to the heart of the meek. I want you to get that point with Moses. God listens to the heart of the meek. How many of you want God to listen to your heart? So it all has to do with this, folks. Now, Moses, in the face of adversity, again, turn over to chapter 16. Chapter 16. "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men." Let's say that verse real fast several times. So basically, Korah took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, "You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them." Really? "And the Lord is among them, wherefore then lift you up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spoke unto Korah and unto all of his company, saying, "Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who are holy, and will cause him to come near unto them. Even whom he has chosen will he cause to come near unto him." Now, Moses knew the heart of God towards him, and that God's heart was favorable towards him. And now yet these people come, and what are they doing? They're facing him off. Say, "Moses, who do you think you are?" Now, how many of us at that point, knowing what God had done through us, and, you know, we had split the Red Sea, and we had seen water come out of rocks, and we had seen the miraculous happen, and yet these people come up against us. How many of us would rise up and say, "You don't know who you're talking to"? Or how many of us, when we have had people do that to us, that rises up in us? It says, "I don't think you know who you're talking to. You don't know who I am, do you? You don't know what kind of authority I carry around here." But Moses didn't do it. He fell on his face before those that were doing that to him. I'm telling you what, that's meekness. Meekness, and I shared this before, is not weakness. He had the authority and he had the power, but yet he fell on his face before those that were coming up against him. He said, "All right, I'm not going to tell you I'm in charge. I'm not going to tell you I have the authority. Show up tomorrow and God's going to show who has the authority." And if you go on later on in this chapter, you're going to see that. You're going to see what happens here. In verse 16, Moses said to Korah and all the company before them, take your censers, and I'm paraphrasing this. Verse 18, everyone took those censers, put them in there. Korah gathered all of his congregation, and they appeared before the Lord. Verse 20, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, separate yourself among from this congregation that I might consume them in a moment. Now I'm going to tell you, how many of you know Moses was a meek man? And at the end of this, who do you think stood standing? Moses. Because Korah and that congregation that followed him, the Bible says that the ground opened up. God took care of his own. And God will take care of us. See, we don't have to be the ones that stand up and make something happen for ourselves and tell people how much authority we actually have. We're going to let God do it. That is the spirit of meekness. Another example that I want to share with you is Stephen. How many remember Stephen? Yeah. Can you go with me over to the book of Acts right now? Over in the book of Acts right now, Stephen, Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, this man, in verse 9 through 15, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemy. They were lying about him, blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people, and the elders and the scribes came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses against him, saying, this man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as if it had been the face of an angel. Now, they were lying about Stephen. They were lying. Has anybody ever had people lie about you or testify falsely about you? I have. And say, we heard him say this. We saw him do that. And I'm sitting there going, that never happened. How many of us want to rise up at that point and defend ourselves? The hair on the back of our neck goes up. And our teeth, and we want to defend ourselves. Meekness says, I know who I am. And God knows who I am. That's the humility of hearts. And Stephen didn't say a word. And as you know, what goes on in Acts chapter 7. Now, turn to the end of that chapter in Acts chapter 7. Verse 59, and they stoned Stephen, who was calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not lay this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Wow, look at that. How many of us would be saying, they're killing me, I'm getting hit with stones, I'm dying, God, get them for what they did. Stephen didn't do it. See, it's the attitude of the heart, and that's what we need to look at. And of course, their final example would be Jesus, right? What did he do? He called out on God. He gave up his own will. And he says something like this in Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Lord, it's not my will. Not my will, but your will be done. Did Jesus have the power to come off of that cross? Yes. He did. And he even said, you know what? in all of the beating of him, my father could send thousands of angels here and just wipe you all out for what you're doing. But he didn't do it. In his humility, the meekness of his heart, he knew who he was and what his position was, and he submitted himself to God. So we're talking about this meekness of heart, folks. There's some benefits to it. And I want to close Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. How many of you read those things called the Beatitudes? Yeah. Okay. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Blessed are the what? The what? I can't hear you. The meek, for they shall do what? They shall inherit the earth. What we're talking about here is that God has a plan and He has something of an inheritance for us today, believers in Christ. We know that when we die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We're going to be in His presence for eternity. However, anybody ever wonder what inheriting the earth means? Like, okay, if we're meek, we're going to inherit everything on this earth. Is that what God's talking about? And a couple shaking your head. What he's talking about is over in Revelation chapter 21, folks. And this is amazing. This is a blessing. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there any more be pain, for the former things are passed away. How many of you want that? That's what he's talking about. No more pain? We've all experienced that. God will wipe away every tear. No more sorrows. The meek shall inherit that. The meek will inherit that. I want that. How about you? Meekness is something that God is calling us to, folks. I want to close with this. This is over in James chapter 6. I'm sorry, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And this is actually one of my favorite verses in Galatians. Verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Wow. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now we have just established throughout this entire sermon that meekness is internal humility and submission to God. And this verse happens to talk about if someone is overtaken in a fault, how do we approach them? Think about yourself. How have you approached someone that is apparently wrong? And you know they're wrong. How do you approach them? Do we say, I don't know what you were thinking, but you better stop that thinking. Because it's crazy, it's ridiculous, and you need to turn away from that and do it my way. Because my way's right. You see the hair coming up on the back of his head right here? You would think he would learn sitting on the front row like that. Yeah? I love him. He's great. Is that the spirit of meekness? It is not. Because I have to realize who I am, and if the Lord has shared with me and has taught me His Word, I'm going to come to Him in humility. And I might say something like this. You know what? I noticed the other day that you were doing this way. I want to share something with you. I was doing it that way a few days ago, and the boss came and really came down on me hard. And this is the way he showed me how to do it. Thought maybe I'd share that with you. How'd that go?
Better.
Better. Yeah. And so we need to approach that, whether we're a boss, whether we're a parent, whether we are a teacher. Because oftentimes when we're teaching, people get things wrong, right? But it's how we approach that in the spirit of meekness. I know I could say, you're absolutely wrong. I'm the boss. I'm in charge. Now do it my way. But results are not going to be that good. Amen? Amen. Meekness. I want to close with this scripture found in the book of Psalms. Psalm 149. Very close to the end of Psalms. Psalm 149. And verse 4. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. He will beautify the meek with salvation. How many of us need beautified? Yeah. And God does that. He's looking for a meek heart. Now, although that's internal, I think a meek heart eventually starts showing out as fruit to others, don't you? And how we respond to things. Now, you don't go up to people and say, I just want you to know that I'm meek. Because that ain't getting it, right? But a truly meek heart, the Lord beautifies it with salvation. You're His. Can you pray together with me? Father, thank You for this word today. And I thank You, Lord, that we could dig in deep into what meekness is. And Father, I'm going to ask now that we would check our hearts and that You would convict us where we're wrong and what kind of attitudes that we carry in our hearts. And who we think we are. And Father, we want to submit to Your authority because we know who You are. And I just ask, Lord, that right now that You would help us check our attitudes. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.